Buzz again.
The Fox. Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State Knowledge.
It is time for a tantalizingly terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's your old pals, Ironhead and Mr. Geezy, Jeff and Scott. You can call us at 814-954-7266 and let us know what's on your mind today.
Do we really want to know
anything?
That?
Anything bugging you? Anything you want to give praise for? I'm not sure if I got around to mentioning it yesterday. I may have forgotten. The Pittsburgh Steelers are heading to the playoffs, folks. It was pointed out to me after the show. There were a couple of folks that I ran into. They're like, did you know that the Steelers went one? We're not sure if you
really
intended to mention that or not on the show. I did intend. Sometimes I get a little forgetful. But yeah, the Steelers are playoff bound. They won the game.
Yes.
On Sunday night. What happened was the Ravens tried a field goal in the final play of the game, and it went wide right. Oh, it was beautiful. So I apologize if I had forgotten to mention that yesterday.
Well, let's mention our website.
I'll have to go back and listen to the show yesterday.
987thefox.info.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's our website. Go to the Let's Talk page, the Let's Talk interviews page. We post all our shows there. I think you need to go back and listen to yesterday's show.
I'll double check. I thought I might have mentioned it, at least in the sports part of the program, but I'll go back and double check. Anyways, if I did forget, I apologize. And they did win the game.
I'm fairly certain you did talk about it
little bit. I may have mentioned it. Okay.
A little bit yesterday.
I wasn't sure if I had.
In between the wide right!
Oh, it's so beautiful! Life is good.
All right, we have our sports segment next segment.
Yes, we do.
I've got a little Steelers stuff. Well, sort of Steelers stuff there. Hold it for that segment.
All right.
Okay. Oh, for goodness sake.
Well, I will excitedly await the second segment now. This morning's big program.
Folks, if somehow you missed yesterday's show, number one, listen to it online. Number two, the guy couldn't stop. But anyway, let's move on. All right, we got a busy show. We have the return of guests. Where's
Yay!
My bell?
Hey,
thank God. All right, there we go. And this should be a little interesting. A guest we've had on before, Jim Gerlach, is a former congressman from Western PA, now retired. He is with a group called PA Civics. And this is an organization of folks that they're trying to improve civics education in schools across Pennsylvania.
Yeah. PA, by the way, stands for Pennsylvania, for those just tuning in and new to the program.
From another state.
I'm kind of an authority on
the
abbreviation. So PA stands for Pennsylvania,
okay.
In case you were thinking, what does public announcing
PA. Okay.
Why would civics be involved? You were probably confused about that.
No.
So I, being just the helpful individual I am, wanted to point out that PA, it stands for Pennsylvania, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. We do have a worldwide streaming audience.
That is correct.
There's probably other parts of the world where PA stands for...
Were very confused.
Something
out there.
Wherever they live. And that's a I'll have to look that up, actually. That's a possibility. But anyway, PA Civics. So we're going to talk about civics education. But then I warned Jim again yesterday. I said, okay, we're going to have some fun. We're going to pretend for part of the interview that he is a current congressman. In other words, he is still in office. And we're going to talk about some of the hot potato issues just from the past week. and how he would react if he were still in Congress.
And this is your idea of fun.
Fun.
Huh, okay.
Because I want to, now Jim, well, I guess he still is. He's a Republican. Okay. You know, how does he look at various things? Venezuela, there's one. Iran, there's one. Minnesota, okay, yeah, there's one too. Holy smokes. Tim Walz announcing yesterday, you know what, I'm not going to run for a third term as
governor. Oh,
no. And I'm thinking most of the folks in Minnesota, yay! They're probably cheering away because they're tired of having their state dragged through the mud in the media, which is what's been happening here for the past, what, week and a half or thereabouts? So, yes, adios, Tim. Nice to know you. Well, actually, things could be happening with Mr. Walz. All right, we'll see where they go with these investigations about fraud and misuse of our money and so on. Yeah.
We got to see if he's going to get caught with his jazz hands in the cookie drawer.
Turn the page. Oh, that was his wife. Turn the page. Yes, we're turning the page, Mr. Uh-huh. and Mrs. Walz. So there we go. All right, weather-wise, are you ready for the heat wave? Here it comes.
I'm ready.
Heat wave. Well,
going to get up into the 80s, is it?
Well, maybe 50. I think our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, mentioned that with us yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Later this week, we may actually have a day get up to 50.
Take it.
And compared to the cold temperatures we've had in recent times, 50.
Yes, sir.
50 is going to feel weird, isn't it, for the, if you will, first week of January. Today we're looking out our window. It's kind of cloudy. Probably going to have some spritz of rain every now and then. I don't think it's going to be anything more than rain. I'm thinking, you know, sleet, freezing rain. No, I think it's going to be warm enough. It's just going to be rain.
I'm good with that.
All right, you're good with that? Okay. I'm not a big fan of mud, but we'll see how much of this snow melts by, Saturday? And then it'll get a bit more seasonable again starting going into next week. All right, some other things here for a Tuesday morning. Now, I did this last night. I don't know why, but I did. CBS Evening News has a new format that they're trying to ballyhoo. They have a new anchor. And so I didn't watch it live because I was doing something else, but I did record it. I thought last evening, I thought, all right, let's give this a view. I really want to see ratings numbers just to see did they get a boost from this new shindig that they're doing. Tony DeCoppel is their new anchor. They had some, how do I put this? They had some technical issues last night.
Oh, no.
You could tell they were a little disorganized, to be blunt. Normally, you know, you've got some commercials you got to play during there. I think their first segment from their intro until they went to their first commercial break, their first segment was like 16 minutes long for a half-hour news program. That's really long. And at one point, he went to start doing a story, and the graphics that came popping up was a totally different story. Oops. To the point where he had to make a comment on air. Well, this is a new setup. I'm thinking, okay, that's embarrassing. They had, it was interesting. I now know why I don't watch the nightly news anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is the 6:30 to 7 o'clock national news. CBS does it, NBC does it, ABC does it, you know, all the big guys, blah, blah, blah. First off, it's not a half an hour. It's more like 23 minutes because you got to get commercials in there.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get those. They're important. You got to cram all the day's news into 23 minutes.
Has to be done.
That is a cram. And I'm watching this last night, and it felt, now maybe it was because they were new at this, and they had a new format, they had new graphics. At one point, they went to a commercial break, and it was one of these, you know, if you watch football games on TV, or maybe actually like soccer games on TV, which don't stop. There's no timeouts in a soccer game. And at one point, you're watching the soccer game, and all of a sudden, the soccer game kind of zooms out, and around the outside, they're actually like running a commercial. so that they can run a commercial while the soccer game is actually still going on.
Uh-huh.
All right. CBS tried that last night with news headlines.
Oh, boy.
So they went to the commercial starts, and the commercial kind of shrinks on the screen. And,
really?
And they put headlines across the bottom of the screen for stories that they weren't going to be covering in their 23 minutes. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's a different twist. Now, granted, it was a headline. That's all it was. I mean, it wasn't like the whole story. It was just this headline and this headline. All right. I'll give CBS credit for trying some new stuff, some new angles, not the same old stuff. But they had a bit of a rough start last night. And they're just, okay, new guys, new show. I'm trying to remember back to, God forbid, 2.5 years ago when we did our first one or two shows. They were a little rough.
Smooth sailing is the way I remember.
Yeah, right into the rocks.
Nothing okay, but...
I don't think so, but...
No?
So if you want to keep watching CBS, all right. Well, I might, maybe not tonight. I might try it again. Okay, guys, after a couple days, did you clean up your act? We'll see. Anyway. All right, let's talk about, well, some food-related news.
All right, now you have my attention.
Okay, let's see if you like this first one.
Oh, boy.
Now, we've warned you about this, and
yeah.
Sure enough, this is actually happening a bit sooner than I thought. Novo Nordisk is one of these pharmaceutical companies. And, of course, these weight loss drugs are all the rage. Oh, they're so great, and they do seem to be pretty great. I mean, they help people lose weight, which is great. Up till now, it's one of these, you have to give yourself a shot, which I know some people are like, they don't want to do that. You know, they're afraid of needles or something like that. Well, Novo Nordisk's Wegovy drug, they have come out now with the pill version of this. All right. It actually hit the market yesterday. First of its kind, allegedly the pill is supposed to be as effective as the shot. All right. I don't do this stuff, so all right, we'll take a look at that. And it's a lot less expensive with the pill than it is with the shot. I think I'm going by rough numbers here. Somebody out there listening to me right now, you're doing this right now, right? The shot cost was what, about $500 a month for shots? That's a lot of money, $500 a month. The pills are supposed to be around $150 a month. Now, that's still pricey. All right, for me at least, I'd say $150 a month, but compared to $500 a month, okay, sign me up, so to speak, and it's, you know, you don't have to give yourself a shot. You just take a pill or a couple of pills. I don't know if you do it 3 times a day, if you do it once a day, if you do it every day, no idea. But the pill version is out, and watch the statistics to see how popular it is. I'm assuming you still have to get a doctor's prescription in order to get this stuff. This is not over the counter. Be interesting if we ever got to that point. In other words, anybody could go to a drugstore and buy this stuff. All right, watch out for that. The other drug companies now are also working on pills. Eli Lilly. Whichever one they've got. They all got the crazy names. They're coming out with their pill version sometime soon, I believe. You got to test it and do all that funky stuff. So, all right. So, pills to help you lose weight. All right, that's great. I think we might have mentioned this before. When's the last time you had a pizza? All right. Actually, at my house, it was last night.
Yeah, it's been hours for me.
Hours? Okay. Well, then you're not the norm.
Oh, no?
No. All right. By the way, I made homemade pizzas at my house last night. All right. My wife likes my homemade pizza. Margarita pizza. No, not the drink. All right. The margarita pizza. Well, here's a story. This is what? Wall Street Journal says the U.S. may have hit peak pizza. Uh-oh. It used to be that the most common restaurant type was, quote, American restaurant. In other words, burgers and fries, stuff like that. Pizzerias were the number 2 restaurant. you know, for commonality. But apparently, it says here, since 2019, the number of pizzerias have fallen, and they are now outnumbered by coffee shops and Mexican restaurants. Apparently, really? Mexican restaurants are going up. Meanwhile, sales growth at pizza restaurants have been going down. Well, why is this? All right. Now, as somebody from a rural area, I've never used a food delivery app. Do you have a food delivery app on your device? All right, you're more of a townie.
I don't. We usually just use the store delivery on the few occasions we get stuff delivered. But I usually go out and pick up.
But I was going to say, you do have delivery.
Yes, we have it available. Right. I don't have any apps. There's two places that we will occasionally have them just deliver, but I would say 90% of the time I go pick up whatever it is we're ordering.
Well, out where I live, there's no choice.
Understood. Understood.
If I want it, I got to go get it. Nobody delivers to me, which is fine. But, you know, these famous ones, DoorDash, Uber Eats. If you've been watching some of the, especially the NFL football games, what's his name? Big Eagles fan. He's an actor.
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, Bradley Cooper. If you've seen the line, what is it, Uber Eats ads, where the NFL is secretly trying to sell food.
That's right.
All right. You know, Baker Mayfield. Yeah, we got this figured out. And those are cute ads. And then Bradley Cooper comes right up. These are not trying to sell food. And then there's an ad, little blurb for Uber Eats.
Yep.
Apparently, a lot of people... COVID's what really got this rolling. A lot of people apparently use those things. All right, that's fine. Which is not good, apparently, for pizza joints. Pizza joints been going down. So, according to the Wall Street Journal, Pizza Hut, of all places, Pizza Hut, or at least the ownership of Pizza Hut, is looking to divest Pizza Hut. Because apparently Pizza Hut isn't profitable for them anymore. Or not nearly as much as it used to be. Papa John's is the same deal. The ownership of Papa John's is thinking about divesting. In other words, selling them off or getting rid of that part of their business. Wow. I mean, that's huge. Now, first off, I've got a statistics here. It says around 1 in 10 Americans will eat a slice of restaurant pizza on any given day. So that means at least 10% of us eat pizza on a particular day. 1 out of 10 of us. Okay. But for some reason, pizza's gone down. It's just not as popular as it used to be. I like pizza. I don't have a problem with that. But I guess with the food deliveries now, it used to be, all right, we want some food delivered. Well, pizza. That's all you had. Well, now you can get pizza, you can get subs, you can get Mexican food, you can get, I don't know, sushi, you can get McDonald's food, you can get Taco Bell food, and so on. All right, so since there's more options, pizza's taking it on the chin. Interesting. Meanwhile, over in Japan, yesterday they set a new record. My goodness, I would like to see this in action. Somebody in Japan or some, I don't know, outfit in Japan caught a 535-pound tuna.
Ooh.
And I saw a picture of this fish. I mean, this is a massive fish.
Well, yeah.
It's a tuna. Tuna fish. Get it? All right, except this is the kahuna of tuna.
Oh, boy. Nicely done.
535-pound tuna. And it was sold at market yesterday in Tokyo. You want to take a guess how much 535 pounds of tuna went for?
I'm going to say over $10.
Keep going.
not over 20.
Add some zeros.
Over $20? You've got to be
kidding. First off, it's a 535-pound tuna.
And that's a lot of tuna.
$3.24 million.
Wow.
For a 535-pound tuna.
So this was a gold-gilded tuna, was it?
Well, no. The guy who bought it, His name is Kiyoshi Kimura, who apparently is famous in Japan. He owns a restaurant chain called Sushi Zanmai. And what he's going to do, he's going to take this 535-pound tuna and he's going to turn it into one heck of a lot of sushi.
I guess so.
He claimed in a story that, granted, he's got to make his money back, all right, $3.24 million for this giant tuna. He says he's gonna carve it up into a whole lot of sushi. He's going to charge his regular price. And I guess maybe, is this a goal? He wants everybody in Japan, and I don't know the population of Japan off the top of my head, to have some little sliver of this 535-pound tuna.
Really?
I'm not sure if he's going to be able to pull that off, but that he wants to go nationwide that people can have like at least a little bit of this 535-pound tuna.
Well, off the top of my head, Scott, I'd have to think that Japan's population is around 123 to 124 million, showing a consistent decline due to low birth rates, making it one of the world's most rapidly aging societies with over 27% of residents age 65 or older. That's just off the top of my head. I think that would be what the population is. Between 123 and 124. That trend, by the way, expected to reach 40% by 2060 in terms of the decline in population. Key figures, in case you were wondering, show a population density of about 338 people per square kilometer.
I don't know.
Kilometer. I'll go kilometer.
Ask the AI how to pronounce it.
Median age nearing 50 right now. If I'm remembering right, this is just off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Dr. AI. All right, there we go. He's not going to get everybody in Japan, but he wants to get as many Japanese as possible to have a little sliver of this giant tuna. Because he paid over $3 million for it. Yeesh, that's crazy. So there's your food news for a Tuesday morning, all right? All right, let's take a break here.
All right, give us a break.
We're going to switch from food news to sports news. Then others will have some other news. And then I think it could be an interesting interview we got coming up here at 9
o'clock. Be our first one of the year.
The first one of the new year.
Ooh.
There we go. All right, folks, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Oh, the fun is just starting. We will come back with more of it after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hello, Mrs. Jones.
Yes, I'm Mrs. Jones. How can I help you?
I'm Paul. I own the Grass is Greener Lawn Care. We're here to take care of your lawn.
Hold on a minute. How do I know you are who you say you are? All I see is a bunch of guys in plain gray shirts.
I provide all my guys with a standard gray shirt.
That's a little plain.
It's always worked for me.
It will if you want to keep your business a secret.
No.
Then you need to give PAMP a call ASAP and get your logo on those shirts.
You said PAMP?
Yes, PAMP.
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wine, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home, decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House, a delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College, so if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Have some open phone time coming up a bit later. And yes, our first guest of 2026.
That poor guy.
Waiting in the wings.
9 o'clock.
On this, just overcast Tuesday morning. All right, sports news. Quarterback Ethan Grunkmeyer has announced he will join James Franklin and Virginia Tech after transferring from Penn State. Elliott Washington has landed at Clemson. The former Penn State cornerback has 1 year of eligibility remaining. And former Penn State defensive end Jalen Harvey transferring to North Carolina, while former Penn State offensive lineman Alex Birchmeyer has landed at Liberty University. Penn State offensive lineman Brady O'Hara has also now entered the transfer portal. Meanwhile, Penn State has picked up former Iowa State safety Hunter Soule from the transfer portal. And former Iowa State wide receiver Zay Robinson announcing he will join Penn State. Sit down for a moment, folks.
Okay.
We have a defensive tackle. I know what you're saying. From Iowa State Ironhead. No!
What?
No! A defensive tackle from UCLA, a non-Iowa State.
Oh, my God.
Transfer.
Oh.
It is true. Keanu Williams transferring in from UCLA to Penn State. Williams will be entering his sixth year of college football, so one season of eligibility remaining. And yes, he is the first non-Iowa State transfer to come into the Nittany Lions program via the transfer portal. Former Ohio State running back James Peoples is in town. Good morning, James. Welcome to Happy Valley if you're listening. And James, everybody in this area listens.
Well, that's
so
true. That's true.
It would make sense that you are.
Okay.
He is here on an official visit to Penn State. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining. As expected, Penn State is retaining special teams coordinator Justin Lustig for next season, which will be his third with the program. Penn State also now has an official role for Terry Smith defined. Smith is, once again, the associate head coach and the corners back coach for the Nittany Lions. Same title, same area of work and expertise for next season that he had this past year until, you know, taking over as interim head coach. Dion Broomfield will be the safeties coach and the pass game coordinator on defense. And although not official yet, it is expected that former UCLA defensive coordinator Ikeka Malo and former Northwestern assistant Christian Smith will be coaching the defensive line with Penn State alum Dan Connor and former Cincinnati defensive coordinator Tyson Veit expected to be named the linebackers coaches. Penn State hockey team slipping one spot to number 9 in the latest coaches poll this week. Michigan is number 1 with Michigan State 2nd and Wisconsin 3rd. I believe all three of those teams happen to be in the Big Ten Conference,
yeah,
if
yes,
I'm not
they are,
mistaken.
Yes.
North Dakota is 4th, with Minnesota Duluth 5th, Western Michigan 6th, Denver 7th, Quinnipiac is 8th, then it's Penn State 9th, and UConn rounds out the top 10. In an intra-county boys basketball game last night, Phillipsburg Osceola defeated Bellefonte 65-51. Zach Myers had 27 points to lead the Mounties, with Nick Desimone adding 15 points. Xavier Jackson led Bellefonte in scoring with 23 points. Griffin Parker added 11. Phillipsburg Osceola improving to 4-7 on the season, while Bellefonte falls to 1-8 on the year. The Bald Eagle area boys losing to undefeated Clearfield last night 69-43. The Eagles are 3-6, while the Bison are 9-0. Tonight, we will have live coverage of Phillipsburg Osceola at Penns Valley Wrestling. Should be a good one. Our coverage gets underway at 7 p.m. Todd and Norm Brown will have the call of tonight's dual meet. The Rams are 8-0 on the season. The Mounties come in at 6-2 on the season. Bellefonte wrestling team will be at Jersey Shore tonight at 7 o'clock. Red Raiders are 7-1 on the year. The Bald Eagle area wrestling team is 6-3 and will visit Clearfield tonight at 7. Also tonight, the State College boys basketball team is at Cumberland Valley in a 7 o'clock tip-off. State High is 7-3, while Cumberland Valley is 6-3 on the season. The State College girls basketball team is home with Cumberland Valley tonight. Tip-off set for 7:30 at the State College North Gym. State High is 5-3, while the Eagles come in at 7-3 on the season. Also tonight, the St. Joseph's girls basketball team at Greenwood. Tip-off at 7:30. The Wolfpack off to a 7-2 start this year, this season. You know, it's a new year, technically not. Greenwood is 4-3 on the season. The FCS championship game, this would be in football, decided last night, and man, it was an entertaining game. Really fun watch. Montana State wins it 35-34 in overtime against Illinois State. What is it with kickers this week? Illinois State missed, they scored first in the overtime, but they missed the extra point.
Boy.
Montana State then scored and converted their extra point attempt to win it 35-34. First title for the Bobcats since 1984.
Wow.
Boy, those were the days.
Yes,
I was a freshman at State College Area High School. Missed extra point again for Illinois State, ending up being the difference in that one. Montana State blew a couple of double-digit leads in the contest before ultimately winning it last night. Big Ten men's basketball. Nebraska remains undefeated on the season. A 72-69 win at Ohio State last night. Michigan State defeated USC 80-51. And Rutgers knocked off Oregon in overtime 88-85. Tonight, get ready. The Penn State men's basketball team preparing to shock the world as the Nittany Lions host second-ranked Michigan in a 7 o'clock tip at the Bryce Jordan Center. The Nittany Lions are 9-5 in the season, 0-3 in the Big Ten. The Wolverines are unbeaten at 13-0, 3-0 in the Big Ten. Tonight's game will be televised on FS1. In the new AP rankings, men's basketball, Michigan remains second behind only top-ranked Arizona. Iowa State is third with UConn fourth and Purdue fifth. Other Big Ten teams in the top 25 include the aforementioned undefeated Cornhuskers at number 10, the aforementioned Spartans at number 12, then it's Illinois checking in at number 16, and Iowa at number 19. The NFL coaching carousel is underway.
Yeah, here we go. Black Monday.
The Browns fired Kevin Stefanski. Just one humble person's opinion. I think they are going to regret that decision down the road. Think Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Stefanski is a really good coach, and he is going to get a job maybe with the Atlanta Falcons. It looks like very quickly. Cardinals fire Jonathan Gannon. Don't think the Cardinals are going to regret that one nearly as much. And the Raiders have fired Pete Carroll after just one season.
One whole season.
Maybe time for Pete to just enjoy riding off into the sunset. He's had, really has had a remarkable career, but maybe time to call it a career at this point. TV, just one humble person's opinion.
TV job.
He'd be very
good. I think he'd be good at that. Yeah.
No question. He would be very good at that. And again, we will have a live coverage of the NFL playoff action Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night this coming weekend. Philadelphia Eagles will take on the San Francisco 49ers in the wild card round. That game will be on Sunday. Meanwhile, the beloved Pittsburgh Steelers, they're in the playoffs, you know. They
yes.
they actually won the AFC
yes.
North. What happened was the Ravens,
yes.
they tried a field goal on the final play
yes.
of the regular season,
yes.
and it went wide right!
It went to the right.
Oh, it yeah. was beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
Steelers will be at home to open up the playoffs against the Houston Texans. Texans have a pretty good defense. That will be the Monday night game in this opening weekend of the 2026 playoff season in the National Football League. And Steelers have to hope that DK Metcalf really is going to be a huge, huge difference maker, because Houston's defense, they're not bad. If you've not been paying attention, this is not like the worst defense we've ever seen in the NFL. Might be one of the best, actually. They are really good. Steelers will have their work cut out, to say the least, on Monday night. But I'm confident because we're in the playoffs, and I'm just happy about that.
And the Steelers don't lose on Monday nights.
That is, Mike Tomlin has an exceptional,
unbelievable record
on Monday nights. And with the veteran status of many of the Steelers players, getting a little extra rest there, not a bad thing going into that playoff game. Guys like Cam Hayward, Aaron Rodgers, letting their bodies rest up a little bit for another day. Okay, we'll take that as Steelers fans. So all of the excitement, the way it works, if you're not familiar with the NFL playoffs, you see, if you win, you advance. If you lose, you're done.
Oh,
like the Ravens
really?
Were done on Sunday night. Because, you know, the kick went wide right.
Okay,
is what and that is a little something we like to call sports.
You're going to do that the rest of the week.
Probably. Probably. Yeah, that seems very, very likely.
Now, if you are a sharp listener, all right, We may have it coming up again later on. I don't know. We have a Monday Night Football promo.
Uh-huh.
All right. And I was going to contact our computer programmer that helps us out with stuff to say, okay, we don't need that promo anymore because Monday Night Football is over.
We really don't need
it. Except there is one more game,
and
we are carrying it, and it is the Steelers.
Well, the Thursday night promo for sure could.
Okay,
could
well, that, all right.
Now, that one can go.
Now, this is the Monday night one.
Yeah.
So we do have one.
Although
more
it is going to be interesting with the college football playoffs, we have the Thursday night and Friday night games because you don't want to interfere with the NFL when they take over Saturdays. I'm not sure I. I'm altogether pleased about that, but it is what it is, as the kids say. And so we have college football playoff action on Thursday night and then on Friday night. Thursday night game will be the Fiesta Bowl matchup between Ole Miss and Miami. And then the Peach Bowl matchup will be on Friday night. And we know that a Big Ten team will be in that national championship game. It'll be either Oregon or Indiana, the undefeated top-ranked Hoosiers. That game is going to be wild. Oregon lost Indiana earlier this season. The track record of teams who meet for a second time in the playoffs, not good for the team that won the regular season matchup.
Huh.
They lose when the teams meet that second time. That game is probably, if you're looking at the projections right now by most of the so-called draft experts, that game, Oregon and Indiana, probably features the top two players who will be taken in this year's NFL draft in April, in Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback for the Indiana Hoosiers. Excuse me.
He's all choked up. I like the kid, too.
It gets me every time.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, he, I will say, has handled the... I was listening to the interview that he did, I think yesterday, on, and he's like, yeah, this is like a daunting task to try to beat Oregon, which is a really good team, a second time. Like, it just doesn't happen. I mean, he's selling it, but yep, we basically, it would be an incredible story for us to beat Oregon a second time. You don't expect to be able to do that. I mean, Indiana knows what to say, knows how to prepare. That's a very interesting game. But Dante Moore, the quarterback for Oregon, most of the boards right now have Mendoza going one and Moore two. The bad news for Moore, I mean, maybe not great news if you go to the Raiders, which right now have the top pick, and that's where Mendoza would go. But I think I'd rather go to the Raiders, and they're starting with a little bit of a fresh slate than the New York Jets. Good God. And that is where Dante Moore at the moment appears slated to be heading. But anyways, that'll be a very intriguing game for sure on Friday night.
Yeah.
And again, that is sports.
You could pull a John. Remember John Elway?
I do
remember John Elway was supposed to get drafted by the Colts, except he didn't want to go to the Colts.
Nobody wants to go to the Colts.
Back, this is 40 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. And he essentially said, I am not going to play for them. Don't draft me.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting chosen by the Denver Broncos. And history made.
And that did not work out at all.
Actually worked out pretty well for him. All right.
Now, you said you had Steelers, Steelers nugget.
Hold on. I got something first. Okay.
Right.
Tonight, you mentioned there's this basketball game, Penn State, Michigan. All right. Caught this yesterday. Hard to believe the Jordan Center is celebrating 30 years of operation.
Yep.
It's like, really? Now, for those of us who have been around here for a while, like, has it really been 30 years? Yes, 30 years. And so they're doing a special tonight for folks that go to the game, 30% off tickets. Wow. Okay. Now, a couple things. First off, I think the powers that be, they would prefer you get your tickets in advance through Ticketmaster. And so the story I saw had a link. All right, you click the link and you can buy tickets and so on. I don't know if you just walk up tonight, you know, to the ticket booth. Do you also get 30% off the ticket? I do not know that. Now, if somebody does, we'll take a break in a moment. If somebody does, call in and let us know, yes, you can do that, or no, you can't.
Forget about it. Get out of here.
I don't know if the 30% is only for if you get it through Ticketmaster online, or if you walk up to the, like I said, ticket booth, and you can get 30% off. Okay, so they got a great deal tonight to celebrate the 30-year anniversary. And, folks, they desperately want more people to come out to games. I mean, no offense, all right? One man's opinion. The crowds at Penn State basketball games have been embarrassing. I mean, they're bad. Nobody's going. Now, a hockey game, boom, full. Mr. Wrestling, wrestling match, boom, full. Basketball games, no. And so they're doing this 30% off promotion tonight because they really want more people to show up. Of course, there's no Penn State students here. Semester doesn't start till next week.
Yeah.
Unless people are getting here early, which I doubt.
I don't think
not this early. Not this early. All right. So if you want to go, 30% off tickets tonight. Real quick. Now, we didn't talk about this yesterday. Micah Shrewsbury, the former Penn State coach, now at Notre Dame. All right, if you follow sports news, you saw this from a couple days ago.
He seemed upset. It was my interpretation.
Holy fright.
I don't think he was pleased.
He went off at the end of a game. What was it? They lost to Cal, I think it was. A guy makes a three-pointer. He gets fouled. He makes his free throw, and they end up winning by one. And at the end of the game, Shrewsbury chases the referee off the floor. Did you see that?
I did see that.
What was your I was a little surprised that reaction. Now, he has been, I don't know, punished, or he has been sanctioned or something, whatever those fancy terms. But, man, now, granted, Notre Dame is not tearing it up on the basketball
court. Steve Kerr apparently thought he was on the right track with that. Steve got himself ejected in a similar type of, it was a good thing people were there to restrain, or I think in both cases may have led to situations that the coaches would ultimately deeply regret.
Yeah, that was just bad.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, let's take our break here. We'll have a few minutes of open line time. I got two Steelers things.
All right.
One good and one not.
You know, they won the other night. They beat the Ravens. What happened is
Stop!
The kick went wide right!
Okay, stop. Again, we've got our guest talking about civics and what's hot in Washington coming up at 9 o'clock. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You're online anyway, right? Then be sure to check out 987thefox.info today for the latest from 98.7 The Fox. Stream our programs from anywhere. Hit the Let's Talk page to catch up on past shows. Read our local sports update each weekday. Use the news outlets page to quickly keep informed from a long list of outlets. Follow our updated air schedule to never miss a show. And share your email address to become a 98.7 The Fox newsletter insider. Email never shared or sold. 987thefox.info. Join us online today.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Be a part of the best event of the winter. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Fox Sports. This is yours. We're going to be back on the air tomorrow, same time, same place, same time, 3 o'clock Pacific. Petros Papadakis will be here. We've got our midweek awards. All of it is yours.
It is a little something we like to call Tuesday. On a little show we like to call Let's Talk. On a radio station we like to call Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Phone line is open for a brief segment here at 814-954-7266. If you want to weigh in on, well, just about anything, 814-954-7266, as we anxiously await Steelers Nuggets, courtesy of Scott Giese.
Well, we got some newsy stuff next hour, so right. Some good conversation, all right? Stay tuned for that. Yeah, good news and bad news. Now,
oh, no.
if you follow this stuff, you've probably already heard, unfortunately, of both of these, all right? Let's start with the good news, all right? I didn't see this Sunday. I saw it yesterday online. I'm like, okay, really? There was a Catholic priest who sprinkled holy water on the end zone at Acrisure Stadium.
That is correct.
Before the game. His name is Maximilian Maxwell, goes by Father Max.
I call him Double Max.
Double Max, yeah, really. I saw him. He's in like regular clothing, and I'm not Catholic. He's sprinkling water or something on the same end zone where what happened? Mr.
Well, what happened was the Ravens, on the final play of the season, they kicked a field goal attempt, and what happened is it went wide right!
Okay.
And the Steelers win the North!
Right where I see Father Max sprinkling the holy water.
That is correct.
Amazing!
That is correct.
So somebody on X Twitter yesterday essentially said, can you make sure Father Max gets tickets?
Yes, please.
To the Monday night game.
Let's get that done.
And maybe do the sprinkling.
Yes,
or whatever.
Please.
He is from St. Vincent Arch Abbey. I'm going to assume that's St. Vincent's in La Trobe. Do you know? I don't know how many St. Vincent's there are. I'm assuming it would be St. Vincent's in La Trobe.
I don't
know. Is where he's from. So, okay, let's see. Watch for some feature story about Father Max. All right, and they'll have video of him. All right, that's the good news. Then there's the bad news.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the game Sunday night at home. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, man, the Steelers are doomed. And then the kicker, what does he do?
He went wide right!
Thank you very much. So my first thought was, oh, my gosh, they won.
Yes, you know, that was my thought,
and
too.
And people are hugging and jumping up and down, and the stadium's going crazy.
I had nobody to hug.
And they had pictures of some of the Ravens, like, I can't believe that just happened.
My dog was asleep, my wife, my kid, everybody's just sleeping. I had to be relatively quiet.
You mean the Mad Turtle wasn't up?
He was not.
Oh.
It was just me hugging myself.
I feel for you. All right. So my first thought Sunday night, I'm excited. Like, yes, they won the game. Then my second thought was, oh, man. And they had pictures of the kicker, Tyler Loop, for Baltimore. He's just a rookie. He's like, what, 23, I don't know, maybe 24
He'll
years old.
He'll have plenty of
know.
Great moments down the road.
Yeah, but
he is a really good kicker.
But he missed the kick.
That's
right. I mean, it was totally like, how did he miss? Because he's had a great season.
Yeah.
And my thought was, oh, man, for him. And sure enough, it started happening Sunday night and yesterday. Apparently, the young man had an Instagram account, and people started just dumping online, as in threats, as in death threats, as in he's apparently engaged to be married. His fiance was getting threats online.
Ridiculous.
I just...
truly ridiculous.
It's like, come on, folks. Now, this one story says Ravens fans did this. I'm sure there were some. I bet there were just other idiots from who knows where that were probably doing this kind of crap. And that was my second thought Sunday
no
night.
No Steelers fans. We're okay with you,
probably
Tyler.
Not.
We're not unhappy with you at all.
That was my second thought Sunday night. He's about to get buried. And that's exactly, unfortunately, what happened.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's one of the reasons that social media stinks, is because people can do just stupid stuff. Death threats? Come on, seriously? And against his fiance? Fiance had nothing to do with this. All right? I didn't even know she was at the game.
Yeah.
Both of them. And so they've both turned off their comments. Frankly, they should probably just get rid of their Instagram accounts. Just get rid of them. All right? Just, you don't need this. You don't need this stuff. The one good thing I saw, and again, I really like John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh is a good man. His brother, okay, let's not talk about his brother. And there was one clip. First of all, NBC, I thought, did a really great job Sunday night. Calling the game, that last play. I mean, Mike Tirico did a great job setting it up.
Yep.
The kid misses the kick. And then after that, this is television now, you let pictures tell the story. You don't need the announcer saying anything.
Yep.
And NBC did a super job of letting the pictures tell the story.
Agreed.
And they're walking into the locker room, and you could tell the kid is just distraught. And John Harbaugh pretty much just hugs him and walks him into the locker room. Hey, sometimes you make a bad play, you drop a ball, you miss a kick, but come on, death threats. I mean, folks, seriously. But I'm not surprised. That's the problem. I'm not surprised.
No, but I'm telling you, he's going to go on and have many great. I mean, he really is just a
good kicker,
an elite kicker. Like he is special, and we saw. Boswell doesn't miss, and he missed. You know, he got the extra point.
That was my next thought. If he had made that kick, that kind of crap would have been going to Chris Boswell.
Probably to some degree, although Boswell has had so many clutch kicks over his career at this point. I don't know. I'd like to think at least he's bought some good.
All right, we got to take a break right here because I think this is our guest right here.
All right, there let's go. Do that.
All right, we're going to take a break. All right. Come on, folks. Seriously, it's a game. Ultimately, it's a game. All right.
Oh, beautiful game.
Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Newsy game.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a real game. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
It's coming, and when it arrives, will you be ready? It's the fall sports season, capped by Penn State and local high school football. And area sports fans will be tuned right here to Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Thousands of ears listening, and for area businesses, will they hear your message? They will if you contact us today at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Drop us a line with your interest, and we'll get back to you fast with affordable rates and information. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com from 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Hey, you! Why are you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized T-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Kevin Harlan here for Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, Senior and Junior in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox. Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We will have a little open phone time in the final segment of this morning's big show.
All right, let's swing over to, well, mostly newsy stuff. All right. We're into a new year. We've gotten off to a very interesting start this year, haven't we? As far as newsy stuff is concerned. And, yes, Kick's going wide right.
I noticed that.
Okay, stop. Scott, shut up, all right? What are you, don't prompt him again. All right, and so we were talking about civics last year, not that long ago, folks. All right, just play along. And the idea that, do young people especially, do they understand civics? Do they understand how our government works, the Constitution and so on? And there have been some stories recently where I'm questioning, like, maybe they really don't. I've got one in particular that I'm going to ask our guest about here in a little bit. But we want to welcome back to our show Jim Gerlach, former congressman, who is with the group called PA Civics. Jim, first off, welcome back to the show. We appreciate you taking some time to be joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Happy New Year to both of you.
Oh, thank you. All right, now let's get this out of the way real quick, because, Jim, if I'm correct, you're down from the greater Philadelphia area, so you don't really care about Steelers kicks going wide right, do you?
Well, funny you say that. I actually was born and raised about an hour north of Pittsburgh. So while I have been living in Chester County for, I don't know, 45 years or so, I'm still a Steelers fan. That's my boyhood team, and I'm still a Steelers fan. So that was the craziest Steelers game in my memory. I couldn't believe it. And I was up and down emotionally through the whole game, as most Steelers fans were. And, boy, when that kick went right, I was jumping up and down. Well, I was not jumping up and down when Boswell's kick went right. Luke's kick went right.
So somehow you haven't converted to the Eagles? I'm shocked on that.
Of course not. Once you're a Steelers fan.
I've always taken the position. I want the Steelers to do great. I want the Eagles to do great. My only problem would be if they play each other, then I stay with my boyhood team, the Steelers.
Wow. And listen, it's going to be an exciting Super Bowl, the Keystone Super Bowl this year.
Oh.
The Steelers will beat the Eagles, but it should be a lot of fun for fans all across the Keystone State to finally see it.
Can you imagine if that would happen?
Of course, man. I can imagine it. I've been thinking about it for years.
Oh, my gosh.
Decades.
That would be huge. Holy moly.
Well, it is. Now, how long, have you always known you were a genius then, Jim, that this is, this wasn't discovered?
Okay.
I mean, we are starting the year off right, getting a Steelers fan in as our first guest of the year.
Thank you. All right.
I've never thought of myself as a genius. My mom might have thought me that way, but I
am. All right.
My mom knows better. My mom, you're not a genius.
Anyway.
But you're a Steelers fan. You got that going.
You got that. All right. You're in the right direction. So there we go. All right, Jim, got a lot of questions for you here today. First off, again, we've had you on, like, I guess it was about a year ago or earlier last year. First off, let's start talking about, if you would introduce yourself, your background. I've mentioned you're a former member of Congress. Tell us about that background, and then what sort of things you're doing right now.
Sure. As I said, I was born and raised in Western PA, went to school in Central Pennsylvania, Dickinson College, and then Dickinson Law, and then gravitated down to Chester County in southeastern Pennsylvania after law school, and that's how I got down this way. I served 2 terms in the State House, 2 terms in the State Senate, and then 6 terms in Congress, representing the 6th Congressional District. Then headed up a couple business organizations when I retired from Congress in 2015. And then now semi-retired, I head up, I'm co-chair, I should say, of the PA Civics Coalition, but I'm also on the State Board of Advisors for the Democracy Defense Project, which is a nonprofit that advocates and promotes fair and secure elections in Pennsylvania. So trying to keep active and also trying to do some fun things on the personal side, and that's basically my my history.
All right. Now, your group, you're with a group called PA Civics, and again, I've got some civics-related questions coming up a little later on. What is this group, PA Civics? Who's it made up of, and what's the purpose of the group?
Sure. PA Civics is a coalition of now 25 different organizations around the state to promote civics education, those organizations include the National Constitution Center, the Rendell Center at the University of Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania Bar Association, Pennsylvania Chamber, and many other organizations that believe that we need to improve our civics education programming in Pennsylvania. And as a result, we worked on a number of different tasks, including working with each other to promote certain programming, to also help teachers, particularly civics teachers, help them with their development, give them additional tools to be better civics teachers in the classroom. We're also doing some legislative work as well, because we have to make a number of improvements to our current law in Pennsylvania that deals with civics. We have an enactment called Act 35 that was passed back in, I think, about 2017, signed into law by Governor Wolf at that time, that requires a civics assessment of our students in Pennsylvania somewhere between grade 7 and 12, but it's up to the schools themselves as to what grade to provide that assessment, and then, number two, what the assessment test itself is. So we think there needs to be some improvement to those Act 35 requirements, so the testing is a little more uniform around the state, using the same test across the state rather than different tests, and that we focus that test more on certain grades rather than allowing it to be any time between grades 7 and 12. So we're working on some legislative proposals with the State House Education Committee Chairman Peter Schweier and some other legislators, bipartisan, in both the State House and State Senate. And we're excited that maybe this year coming up, as we just started this new year, and it being the 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence, that we'll have some great interest on the part of legislators to move this reform legislation through the process. So between teacher development, programming, collaboration among our partners, and this legislative efforts, those are the things we're doing as a coalition.
Oh, yeah, that 250 thing. Yeah, that's kind of important. Yeah, hello. All right, now I've got a little bit of a follow-up, Jim, but first, let's get a definition of civics for those of us that haven't been in school for a while. your two hosts. Give a simple definition. When we say civics in school, what is that? What are kids supposed to learn?
It's the educational effort to try to educate our students on what their roles are as citizens in our society, what our fundamental background is as a country, both in terms of its founding principles, its structure of government, but also with that basic understanding, what are the skills those students need then to be active citizens in their communities, to identify problems, and then collaborate to work together to solve those problems. So if you look at civics as 3 legs of a stool, it's knowledge of our governmental structure and responsibilities of citizens. It's providing them skills to then undertake the active work we want them to do as citizens. And then number 3, the encouraging them to actually go out and become that active citizen in the community. And when I say active citizen, it could be anything. It could be anything from, well, we understand there's a problem, you know, with our sewer system in our community. Let's go out and deal with that. Or we have a problem with seniors not having enough activities in the community. Or it could be being involved in youth activities in a community. So it's anything that where you see the need to get involved, that you have the knowledge and the skills and the impetus to become active in your community.
All right. Now, Jim, you mentioned Act 35, which is a Pennsylvania law about teaching civics in school. You kind of touched on this a few minutes ago. Did I read this correctly, either from what I read online or your comment just a little bit ago? All right, we're looking at kids grades 7 through 12, so that's like sort of middle school, high school. And the idea is that's a six-year period. That somewhere in that six-year period, a school kid is supposed to get, I guess, a course in civics, like one course over 6 years. Did I read that right, Jim? Just one course in a six-year period.
Well, typically what happens, you're close, but typically what happens is you start from the standpoint that the State Department of Education has academic standards in all areas of education. There's sciences that have academic standards. There's history and social studies that have academic standards. And part of those academic standards, at least as to history and social studies, is to focus on civics. And schools across Pennsylvania might do that in different grade levels. Some might do it a little bit earlier around, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. Some do it a little bit later, eighth, ninth, tenth grade. And so, given the wide variety of schools that we have, urban, suburban, rural school districts, public, private, there is no one grade that every school in Pennsylvania, public or private, are quote unquote teaching civics. So right now what we have, therefore, is a situation where this Act 35 leaves it up to the individual schools locally to decide when to assess their students on their civic skills, and then number two, what test to use to determine that. And we think, while it's great that we're at least starting to get some assessment of how our kids are doing in their civic knowledge, it's not a standard, uniform, consistent regimen across the state, and so we're trying to promote the idea of let's better understand where our civic proficiency is with our students at a grade level that can be compared all across the state. So we know ninth graders, regardless of whether you're in State College, or you're in Pittsburgh, or you're in Chester County, or in Philadelphia. They're being tested at the same grade level, and they're being tested with the same assessment tool. In other words, it's the same test. Right now, Act 35 leaves it up to the schools to decide what test to use, or they could just use the U.S. citizenship test. And some schools are using that. They're just using the U.S. citizenship test. And they might give that maybe in one district in ninth grade. They might give another one in 10th grade. They might give another one in 8th grade. So we want to create more consistency so we can start comparing apples with apples. How are our kids' civic proficiency progressing year after year? Because ultimately we want to see the civics proficiency of our students in Pennsylvania go to the top level nationally. Right now, the Edison Institute rated our civics and history curriculum and proficiency at an F level. F as in Frank. That's the worst grade you could get. So we want to take the next, it's PA Civics, we're looking at it as a Project 2037. What that means is the 250th anniversary this year of the Declaration of Independence should really kick us off from now over the next 11 years to the 250th anniversary of the United States Constitution in 2037. Let's use this 11-year period to really take us from this F grade that we have as a state to an A grade by 2037, the 250th of the Constitution, and do that through improving Act 35, improving teacher development over that time period, programming for our teachers and students, and really raise the civics proficiency of our students to the highest level by the end of that 11-year time period. So that, if you think about these issues we're involved in, that's what the whole goal is, to ultimately increase the civics proficiency of our students in Pennsylvania to the top levels statewide or nationwide.
So we're getting an F. Why am I not surprised? Why am
I
not surprised?
I mean, instinctively, you would think this state, with the rich history we have, that we would be one of the higher ones. I don't know. That's
A lot of it is we pride ourselves, and I think it's good generally. We pride ourselves on the fact that we have a much more localized system of government in Pennsylvania compared to other states. We have we have townships, boroughs, cities, counties, all with their differing powers and responsibilities. It's a very diffuse system of local government, and that also includes school districts, where we allow a lot of local determinations over curriculum, when subjects are taught, etc. And that's good in many ways. However, that means you then have disjointed patterns of educational programming. So they're doing certain things in Philly that they're not doing in Clarion, and they're doing certain things in State College they're not doing in Allegheny County. So we're just trying to bring a little more statewide uniformity and consistency, at least as a civics education, than what otherwise are a very localized system of education is in Pennsylvania.
All right, now, Jim, let me share an opinion, all right, from what we just described here. This Act 35, six-year period, schools have got to put civics in there someplace, one place. I think it needs to be done more than once, like multiple grades, and absolutely high school seniors should have something in civics. I mean, these are the people that are about to take the step out to college, to the working world, to the adult world. And something in the senior year has to be tied to civics, because, kids, you're about to turn 18 probably. Guess what? You get to vote. You get to do all these other things. You need to know this civic stuff before you take that step. I don't know, Jim, am I crazy? That's my opinion.
Well, you might be crazy, but not on this issue. I think you're spot on. There are some states that do require their graduating students to, I think Florida is one of them, to undertake some sort of community project and to demonstrate some sort of civic skill. I don't know, we'll get to that, but what we are also talking about to our legislative friends is a civic seal for diplomas, where students that have demonstrated that they not only have the knowledge that we want them to have relative to our system of government and our governmental structure, but also go out and use their civic skills to improve the community, they would receive a certain seal on their diploma demonstrating that. And if you have a certain percentage of your seniors that have gotten civic seals for their diplomas, a certain a percentage, then you might be designated as a school of civics excellence. And so, while it would not be mandatory, it would start creating, we think, situations where many students would want to have the civic seal on their diploma, because that might be helpful in their application process for colleges and universities. That shows some distinction that others might not have. And a civics school of excellence would demonstrate to the public that school really encourages civic involvement and civic engagement. So part of this legislation, I think, is going to have sections regarding civic seals for students, as well as schools of excellence for schools that have a certain percentage of their students that are engaging in that civic engagement process.
Well, we got to do something. Before we take a break in a moment, Jim, this is something that just, when this happened, it screamed at me. For our listeners, you remember we had a guest from FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, free speech. And mm-hmm. they're based in Philadelphia. And they did a survey back in the fall of so-called Gen Z, which would be high school kids, college kids, people in their 20s. And according to FIRE's survey from back in the fall, 90% of the people in that grouping, Gen Z, 90% see words as a form of violence. And when that came out, I was shocked. I'm like, are you kidding? Do these kids know anything about what free speech really is? That's civics. I mean, I was stunned by the results of this. This tells me that there are young people in schools, they're clueless. They have no idea about our rights and the Constitution. They have no idea what was really there, that words are violence, which apparently then means we can use real violence to silence words, and then we have the Charlie Kirk incident back in September.
It's troubling that far too many, not only students, frankly, but even adults in our nation do not have a good, solid understanding of our Constitution, of our structure, of the powers and responsibilities the government has at all levels, but even their powers and responsibilities as citizens. They just don't have a fundamental grasp of it. And while we may not be able to do much about, you know, the adults right now, we do have to worry and do have to do all we can as these kids are coming up through our school systems, and empower them with greater knowledge, greater understanding, and greater tools to become responsible citizens after they've graduated. And there's no question, your point's right on. There's no question about we're in a dire situation. We've got to really address it. And this 250th anniversary, if this does not give us the spotlight to be able to talk about these issues and really do something about civics education, civic engagement, I don't know what will turn the light on for our citizens. Because we have this spotlight on because of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, and it ought to be a clarion call for all of us to rethink how we're doing civics and what it means to the future of our nation.
All right, let's take a break right here. Again, our guest is Jim Gerlach from PA Civics. And, Jim, I didn't write this down. Website address is what exactly?
PACivics.org.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it was org. A lot of good information there. PACivics.org. All right, we're going to take a break. Now, Jim, when we come back, we're going to have some fun with you, okay? My perverse idea of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, you may want to define fun here.
All right. We're going to pretend that you're still a congressman, all right, like right now.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to talk over some issues here, all right? You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere, folks. The fun comes right after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here, all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hello, Mrs. Jones.
Yes, I'm Mrs. Jones. How can I help you?
I'm Paul. I own the Grass is Greener Lawn Care. We're here to take care of your lawn.
Hold on a minute. How do I know you are who you say you are? All I see is a bunch of guys in plain gray shirts.
I provide all my guys with a standard gray shirt.
That's a little plain.
It's always worked for me.
It will if you want to keep your business a secret.
No.
Then you need to give PAMP a call ASAP and get your logo on those shirts.
You said PAMP?
Yes, PAMP.
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. A little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show. And again, high school wrestling rolls your way tonight, 7 o'clock airtime for Phillipsburg Osceola at Penns Valley.
Oh, my Rams.
Oh, yeah. The undefeated Rams.
They're having a great season.
They are indeed.
So that's pretty cool stuff. All right, let's go back to other fun things. Again, Scott's perverse idea of fun.
Yes.
We're talking with Jim Gerlach, former congressman, who's with the group PA Civics, pacivics.org. All right, let's talk some real civics now, Jim. So here's the fun part, okay? We're going to pretend that you're still a congressman. Like right now, you're a congressman. And you and I communicated before Christmas, you know, to set this all up. And I figured, okay, Christmas time, going to be sleepy, not much news going on. Yeah. Boy, did I call that one wrong. Holy fright. So if you were a sitting congressman, Jim, all right, down toward Philadelphia there, outside of Philly, let's talk over some issues as if I were talking to my congressman. Let's start with Venezuela. What, just your initial thought of what happened the other night with that whole operation to go grab Maduro out of Venezuela. As a member of Congress, what would your reaction have been? Would you have agreed with the action? Be honest with us, all right? Yay, nay, whatever. What did you think about what happened the other night?
Well, I would have looked at it from two perspectives. One, I would have applauded the fact that from a military and law enforcement standpoint, they were able to swoop in and get Maduro and his wife and bring them back to New York for a criminal trial based upon two indictments against them for their drug trafficking and all the other various crimes related to that. That would have been, in my mind, terrific and is terrific. I think that's the only way you're going to send a message to a number of these dictators in these countries that are allowing drug activity to continue to happen and send that poison to the United States. I would have said that's terrific. However, you know, it's always what happens next. And so I would have been in the front row at the classified briefing that occurred, I think, last night for members of Congress on this, and I would have been trying to ask questions of what is the next step, how have you planned out how you're going to engage with the existing government that is left in Venezuela to work through the situation where you want to them to gravitate towards a next set of elections that will be honored, whoever wins those elections, president and whatever other races you're going to have as part of that, probably their assembly, National Assembly. How are you going to make sure that whatever the outcome is going to be upheld from a democratic process standpoint? And in the interim, how are we going to make sure that the country is properly administered in terms of government services to their people, ongoing international relations, hopefully them cut their ties with Russia, Cuba, and Iran, and China. How you manage that and administer that until they get to the next set of elections is really an open-ended question, and that's where I would be focusing my questions and my my inquiries. Because nobody wants a situation where things erupt in that country. Somehow American troops have to be brought into that country to quell violence, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's, you know, if you broke it in the store, you own it, and you've got to take it over. Nobody wants to see that happen. So I'd be really, really interested. Did you think this through? And are you going to have the processes in place to make sure there's a peaceful transition to elections, and then whoever wins those elections can then administer the country? Those would be my questions.
All right. Now, Jim, you mentioned, yeah, there was some special briefing for members of Congress last night after the fact. From your experience, Jim, is that a common occurrence that members of Congress get special briefings about, I don't know, all kinds of things? Or, do members of Congress find out things in the media like the rest of us? I mean, do you folks, are members of Congress alerted, I don't know, sort of in advance or at least at the same time? Okay, here's what's going on, here's what we can tell you. Or is it more like last night, okay, we did this on Friday, okay, let's sit down and talk about it now? How do members of Congress get alerted to this stuff?
Well, usually... When a president takes military action, and in this instance, I think it's both a combination military and law enforcement action, Congress, unless it's maybe just the foreign relations chairs and the intelligence committee chairs or armed services chairs, as well as leadership in the House and Senate, they may get some notice, but the rank and file members usually do not. However, if it's a, you know, pretty significant action, then, of course, all the members of Congress, House and Senate, want to be updated on what happened, why did it happen, and what next steps are, and that's when those classified briefings are then scheduled. Now, they're classified briefings, and as a result, members are not permitted to disclose the information that comes from those briefings, other than just general, you know, some general comments as to what was discussed in terms of the topic, but not specific information that would disclose information that might harm our personnel, our methods, that sort of thing. But typically in these classified briefings, there's not much more that you learn that you otherwise did not read the day before in The Hill or Politico or Roll Call. So very rarely do you get information that's, I didn't know that before. You may sometimes get those tidbits, depending on the questions, but classified briefings typically are only happening after a significant international issue that compels members to find out as much as they can, because they're getting questions from their constituents and they want to be able to respond to their constituents. So prior to the action being taken, sometimes legislative leadership on the House and Senate side are told minutes before something happens so that nothing is disclosed to the press before the action is taken. But certainly after the action is undertaken, then there's usually a classified briefing for everybody in the House and Senate so they can ask their questions and get more information to the extent that that administration will disclose it to them.
All right. Now, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He talks whenever he wants. He usually does it off the hip. He made his offhanded comment, yeah, we're going to run things now in Venezuela. And, of course, oh, boy, alarm bells went off all over the place, like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And he mentions Colombia, and he mentions Cuba. I don't know, Jim, your opinion, could this expand? Like, hey, all right, we took out one bad guy. Let's see if we can go get some more bad guys. What do you think?
Well, I think he's certainly sending a message, and that's number one. And then number two, I think based on his actions in the last year, if he sends those messages, those that are receiving the messages ought to really listen to them very seriously. Now, does that mean he's then going to, you know, do something in Cuba or do something in Colombia or do something in Mexico or even do something in Greenland? No, not necessarily, but he's certainly sending messages as to what he wants to see ultimately happen from a policy standpoint. So it's very clear he wants, relative to Colombia and Mexico, he wants those governments to end these drug cartels and the transportation of illegal drugs from their countries to the United States. He wants that to happen. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to invade Colombia or Mexico, but he's certainly telling them what he wants to see happen, and you need to take him very seriously. As to Cuba, there's no doubt that Cuba has relied very heavily on Venezuelan oil, and now that pipeline, to a great degree, might be shut off, and that's going to create tremendous economic pressure on the Cuban government. And, that might be something in more the near term rather than long term might cause developments in Cuba, even without U.S. Moving in either from a military standpoint or whatever, may cause some disruption in Cuba. It'll change that government. But I think we can all agree that when Donald Trump talks about these issues, he's serious about them, and he's sending messages. And so those that are to receive those messages better take them very seriously.
But if the folks that get the messages, Jim, are like, shrug their shoulders like, we don't care, this might be a civics question. The legality of what we did the other night, okay, it kind of worked there. Why don't we do something in Colombia if that guy's not going to cooperate? Why don't we just do something with those Mexican drug cartels across the border? Mexican government doesn't seem to be doing anything about them. What's the civics or legality of us doing more of this kind of stuff?
Well, the Maduro situation, I think, was very much akin to what happened in 1989 when Bush 41 decided to move in with military force to grab President Noriega and bring him back to the United States. He had been indicted for drug trafficking, much like Maduro had been. And it was a very quick operation to grab him, bring him back to U.S. jurisdiction, to try him, which he was, found guilty, and he served many years in prison as a result. I think that's what the Maduro situation is very akin to. It's different if all of a sudden you want to do something in Mexico or in Colombia or in Cuba. There's no, as far as I'm aware, there's no federal indictments against any of those leaders. And so there's not a law enforcement necessarily component to that. It's more of a military one, in which case that brings Congress's Article II powers to declare war into a greater focus. And I would think that if there's any Trump administration desire to do something militarily in those countries, there would have to be much more conversation and approval by Congress under its declaration of war power than the situation that happened in Venezuela, which was more of a more of a law enforcement issue. You had to have the military there in Venezuela to support the law enforcement grab of Maduro. The law enforcement couldn't have had 150 planes in the air, had Tomahawk missiles ready to go to support them, the cyber powers to shut down temporarily electric grids. Law enforcement couldn't have done any of that. They needed that wraparound military support to do the very basic law enforcement operation of grabbing this person under federal indictment. That's different than what would happen in Mexico, Cuba, or Colombia. That would be more of a military engagement solely, in which case it seems to me Article II Declaration of War Powers comes much more to the forefront, and Congress has, in my opinion, more of a role and a say as to whether that should happen.
All right, now let's swing over to Iran. Now, this has gotten some stuff in the news. It's been big on social media. People sending out videos from Iran, all this unrest for about the last week and a half. Millions of people out in the streets protesting. They don't like their government. They want the Ayatollah and the mullahs to hit the road so that Iran can be a free country like other countries in that, you know, sort of part of the world. Trump has come out and said, hey, if you start killing civilians, we're going to do something. I mean, Jim, we all want the Iranian government to hit the road. And if they did, that would be gigantic. That would be huge. should we somehow, we already took out their nuclear sites, should we somehow get involved with what's going on in Iran to kind of push it in the right direction? Your opinion, or is that just, that's a bridge too far, we shouldn't try that?
Well, many might remember back during the Obama administration when there were similar protests in the streets of Iran, and there was a really hard crackdown by the Iranian government against those protesters. And many people in the United States and even across the world criticized President Obama for not being vocal enough in support of the pro-democracy forces in Iran. Today, as those protests develop, it's pretty clear President Trump is more vocally supportive of those protesters, but it's very unclear as to if the protesters get cracked down on by the Iranian government more so than what's already happened, what he would do about it from a military standpoint. He might use other levers of power to put pressure on the Iranians, again, more sanctions against their economy, more sanctions against certain governmental officials, maybe more pro-democracy financial support through non-government organizations. There could be a number of other things the United States government can do to continue to support those protesters materially, but also just the president using the bully pulpit to continue to support them verbally rather than going to any other military steps against Iran government. So I don't know. It's good that President Trump is expressing support for those Iranian protesters. I think ultimately everybody wants that regime to fall and to see democracy flourish again in Iran after many decades. But I wouldn't necessarily think right now the president's talking about military action against Iran. There could be a number of other ways he could step up the pressure without it being a military effort.
Now, you were a congressman, Jim, before Trump took office, you know, round one, all right, first term.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this guy? You're a Republican. He's Republican. It's been 10 years, well, almost 10 years now. What do you think of him? As a president, as a leader,
I think there's a lot of issues that he's undertaken that I agree with and would support. I mean, no question about the efforts he took at the start of this administration to shut down illegal immigration across the border, and also the steps that are being taken to identify the illegal immigrants that are here today that, based on their criminal histories and criminal activity, should not be in the United States. I think that's all good. I think he's done a lot of foreign affairs activity that have been positive. Certainly taking out the Iranian nuclear weapon capability was very, very important. I think that's good. Him working with NATO countries to get those other NATO nations to increase their contributions to the regional defense of Europe in relation to what the U.S. already contributes. I think that has been really, really good. And I think there was much in that big, beautiful bill from a tax code standpoint. I was on the Ways and Means Committee when I was in Congress that I think are really, really helpful to improve our economy in the United States as well as help individual taxpayers. So there's a lot of good policy stuff I think the president has done. I, like a lot of other people, cringe, however, at times with things that he says, and I just wish he would be more presidential in those periods of time. I cringe is the best word. I just cringe at it because it's just not as I was growing up what I thought a president would say or do as the leader of our country. But unfortunately, there are a lot of politicians at all levels of government right now that do things and say things that are very cringeworthy, in my opinion, and are not what I think elected officials ought to be, how they should be conducting themselves. And it just seems to be the type of politics we have right now, and it's not good. So I'm just hoping that at some point the president will realize that how he says things and what he says are very important in addition to what he actually does. And I'm hopeful that maybe he can improve that conduct. But in terms of what he's trying to accomplish on many policy fronts, I'm supportive. I think it's the right direction to go.
All right, real quick, one more and we'll let you go. Minnesota. Oh, for goodness sakes. Questions of fraud, questions of immigration about the people allegedly involved in the fraud. What's your thought on all this stuff coming out of Minnesota right now?
It's mind-boggling, and to have all of that COVID money be wasted and stolen without proper checks and balances in our executive branches, both at the federal and state level, is mind-boggling. There has to be a lot more criminality involved here that we haven't uncovered yet. And I'm glad to see that the U.S. Attorney in Minnesota, as well as the Justice Department generally, is really focused on taking this all the way to wherever the money leads, so to speak. And I think there's going to be a lot more heads to roll, and rightfully so, because that's the only way you're going to get people to, have second thoughts on whether they're going to be involved in this fraudulent and corrupt behavior. And moreover, I think it's not just Minnesota. I think more and more eyes happening with these programs around other states. We're going to have many other instances in the coming months of this kind of fraud and corruption all across the country, and it's going to be mind-boggling. And so people are going to say we're $38 trillion in debt, and these billions and billions and billions of dollars are being stolen from the taxpayers. We've got to crack down on this stuff. And so there's a role for state governments to play in that. There's a role, obviously, for federal governments to play in that. But we've got to get to the bottom of this corruption and this fraud. And that's the only way taxpayers at some point will say, we're getting a dollar's worth of service for every tax dollar that's being sent to the federal government. We've got to bring this all to an end. And the only way you do that is thorough investigation. And then whoever violated the law, they've got to go to jail. And that's the only way to deal with it.
And folks, it all starts with civics. In other words, knowing civics. All right, pacivics.org. Folks, check that out. If you've got kids in school, hey, we got to do something with better civics education. An F? Oh, we can't. No, that's got to change. Jim, we appreciate your time again this morning, and good luck with your efforts.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, fellas, and have a great 2026.
You as well.
You too. Thank you very much. All right, folks, we'll take a quick break. We'll have just a few minutes of open time. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Thank you for listening to 98.7 The Fox. If you're a business and want to sell more business, why not advertise on 98.7 The Fox? Get a flood of commercials morning, noon, and night. Try us for just 1 month and watch the results come in for a cost better than anybody else in the region. Reach out today for more information. Go to our website, 987thefox.info. Use the Contact Us link so we can schedule a visit. That's 987thefox.info. Use the Contact Us link. Make 2026 a great year by partnering with 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
A few minutes remaining on our Tuesday edition of Let's Talk. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. Reminder, schedule after our program today, we'll have the Dan Patrick Show from 10 to noon. Joe Ludnowski and the Pennsylvania Sports Network from noon to 2. And then from 2 to 4, it is the return of the Goon and Ironhead Show at Quaker Steak and Lube. Lots to get into. We may talk about that Steelers game. I don't know if you know, they won. The kick went wide right! Outside chance, we may discuss that a little bit, along with some Penn State football and wrestling talk, and you never know what else we may get into. Jed Donahue is continuing to work. We thought he might be back this week, hoping he might return to the airwaves next week in that 4 to 6 slot, but still working to get some things ironed out there. So it'll still be Fox Sports for now. This week from 4 to 6, and then 7 o'clock tonight will be the airtime for high school wrestling. We'll have Phillipsburg Osceola at Penns Valley. Should be a good one. Todd and Norm Brown will have the call. And, again, our coverage will get underway at 7 o'clock this evening for that one. One other just note here, heartbreaking note. A classmate posted yesterday. Many longtime residents of Sutter County may remember Don Azendorf, who was the, I think he was the first ever controller in Sutter County, and served in that role for a very long time. His daughter, Heather, went to elementary school with me at Lamont, went to high school. She was murdered down in Hollywood, Florida, Hollywood Beach, Florida. They recovered her body, and they now have a suspect in custody. The body was discovered the day after Christmas. Horrible circumstances, everything around it. Heather was an absolutely beautiful kid, just a wonderful, shy kiddo, and had a tough life. Got in with some things that she shouldn't have, nobody should, and it took her down a pretty nasty path. Rest in peace, Heather. You will be missed by all of your classmates and the many friends you made over the years. Also passing away, very sad to hear, Jimmy Lane, longtime editor of the Altoona Mirror, just wonderful, kind of old school newspaper guy. Jimmy Lane also passing away, I believe, over the weekend, but very recently. So rest in peace, Heather and Jimmy. Man, we're just having too many of these.
Yeah.
It just breaks your heart.
Wow.
Enjoy every day, because you really don't know, kids. Folks, we do hope you have an absolutely terrific Tuesday, and we will be back with our Wednesday edition of Let's Talk, oddly enough, tomorrow morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Fox Sports.